Welcome to episode 272 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes to his young protege, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." In his first letter, in 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, he had penned these words, "But the goal of our instruction is to love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Timothy exemplifies that which Paul is hoping to nurture in all believers. In the relationship between Paul and the young man he mentors, and in the words of guidance he writes to him in 1 and 2 Timothy, we learn many practical lessons. And given that today is Tuesday,
today's top 10 list.
10 practical lessons from the life of Timothy.
Number 1.
The arc of Timothy's life brings honor to God. Likewise, glorifying the Lord should be the prime concern of how we live our lives on earth. The third angel of Revelation 14 calls on us to fear God and give Him glory. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, Paul says, "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God."
Number 2.
Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois take the instructions in Deuteronomy 6 verses 6 to 8 very seriously and perhaps remind him of them often. And these words, "which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Over the years, their efforts bear fruit. Timothy memorizes whole passages from the scriptures, as is the custom for Jewish boys, using them to guide his life. Gradually, he develops into what Paul describes in 2 Timothy 2 verse 21 as a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. This illustrates the critical importance of godly parenting, of training up a child in the way he should go.
Number 3.
Timothy meets Paul during his missionary excursions. We rarely know what might become of the seemingly chance meetings we have with people. God opens doors for us through the people we meet and the circumstances we encounter.
Number 4.
Paul's proclamation of the gospel is a major turning point in Timothy's life. How has hearing the good news of salvation impacted you? In 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You may not be trained as a preacher, but what can you do to be prepared to share the gospel?
Number 5.
It is Timothy's honorable reputation that endears him to Paul's heart. When we find younger believers of noteworthy character, we will want to include them in our lives. In their early years, adolescent Christians should realize the unique opportunity they possess to distinguish themselves with excellent character. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." So the Bible encourages us to keep good reputations whenever possible. This idea is echoed in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1, which says, "A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume." The Bible is clear that a good reputation is of great value and is therefore something that we should strive to earn and maintain. Know that when we profess to be Christians, the world watches us. While we are fallible as human beings, we need to be careful not to speak or act in such a way as to impugn our reputations.
Number 6.
It took time in distinctive ministry environments for Timothy to mature and become an effective Christian leader. Similarly, our path to maturity and increasing ministry effectiveness does not take place all at once. Instead, the process of spiritual growth occurs in differing circumstances involving numerous people over many years. If we have a sincere faith, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, God will help us on that path to maturity.
Number 7.
The Holy Spirit enables Timothy to overcome an apprehensive disposition. In similar fashion, when we rely on the Spirit, we have the ability to be courageous in dealing with challenging and long-standing problems in diverse congregational settings. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline."
Number 8.
Timothy is careful to set a good example. We too are to be persons dedicated to the Redeemer. As such, we are to guard our thoughts and feelings. To do otherwise risks hurting both ourselves and those we are called to disciple. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, Paul counsels Timothy to set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. In the second part of that verse, he shows him how that is possible. "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching."
Number 9.
Timothy does not regret investing his life in discipling others. His example encourages us never to be embarrassed by our association with the cause of Christ. Even when it seems unpopular or disadvantageous, Jesus invites us as his disciples to join with other believers in experiencing adversity, if necessary, for the sake of the gospel. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, Paul encourages Timothy with these words, "But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." There is no better man than Paul to give advice about endurance under suffering for Christ. Paul had been imprisoned, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, hungry, cold, and destitute. In spite of all this and more, Paul manages to endure the suffering, finish the race, and keep the faith. He calls on Timothy and on us to do the same.
Number 10.
Toward the end of Paul's life, he recalls the simple purity of Timothy's faith. In all of our experiences, including the successes and failures, we should remember that what happened to us at the beginning, namely salvation, is what endures to the end. In all our maturity, we can never go deeper than genuine faith in the Savior. Timothy's background poses difficulties for him with both Jews and Greeks. He comes from a home in which his Gentile father is not a spiritual leader. He often plays second fiddle to Paul, acting as the apostle's representative. People sometimes look down on him because he's young. He has health issues. He hasn't figured things out. But what trumps it all is his heart for God. He has a sincere faith. God uses the weak things of the world so that through us his surpassing grace, glory, and strength may be shown. Do you feel that you aren't useful? Do you need a reminder of God's methodology? God uses the willing. He uses the available. God uses the weak. He uses us. He uses us not because he needs us, but because he wants us to experience the glory of service, submission, and spirit-infused living. Father, thank you for the lessons we learn from the life of Timothy. Like that young pastor in Ephesus, may each of us be a vessel through whom you can work. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.